Woke culture is taking over. Midterm elections are quickly approaching, and our meet and greet is just 2 weeks away. Hey, it's the Chicks from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is a major freakout, an epic flip out in the anti-Trump world. And I'm going to start in an odd place, but you'll figure out what's going on. The Supreme Court decisions in the Dred Scott case in 1857 and the Korematsu case in 1944, they're both generally considered two of the worst judgments ever handed down by the United States Supreme Court. One of them concerned slavery, the other concerned the internment of Japanese Americans in World War II, and both today are held up as examples of historic, grievous judicial error. Okay. Now that is why it is a little weird to see one of the nation's most distinguished legal scholars point to Dred Scott and Korematsu as comparisons when discussing, this is really true, U.S. District Judge Eileen O'Connor's decision to grant the appointment of a special master to review documents in the Justice Department's investigation of former President Trump. Okay, so you have the judge ordering the appointment of a special master to look over these documents seized by the FBI in the Trump case, and you have the judge saying, well, let's have a special master to look over these because that's what the Trump people have requested, and you have people saying this is as bad as Dred Scott or Korematsu. It seems a little bit out of proportion. Okay. Cannon's order is going to allow a neutral third party who is approved by both the Justice Department and the Trump defense to review the material that the FBI seized at Mar-a-Lago. And here is what Lawrence Tribe, the retired Harvard professor, a legal legend, tweeted. Quote, Cannon's order will go down as part of the judicial anti-canon. The body of decisions, like Dred Scott or Korematsu, that lawyers use for generations to teach students how not to wield the judicial power. Okay. Read it again. Like Dred Scott or Korematsu, Cannon's order will go down in that group of cases and examples that lawyers use to teach students how not to wield the judicial power. Dred Scott, Korematsu, Judge Cannon's order. Okay, maybe that seems a little over the top to you. It certainly does to me. But even if you call that over the top, Tribe's general tone of anger about the decision was really representative of much of the liberal legal world. Okay, so what are they so upset about? Cannon wrote about the appointment of a special master, which is this disinterested third party who goes through the documents and decides if they're privileged or not, if they should be part of the investigation or not. So Cannon wrote that a, quote, commitment to the appearance of fairness is critical because of the, quote, extraordinary circumstances in a case that involves the criminal investigation of a former president. I think we could all agree that there are extraordinary circumstances here. Quote, courts recognize that special masters uniquely promote the interests and appearance of fairness and justice. That's Cannon writing there. All right. Now, certainly there is a need for the interests and appearance of fairness and justice in the Mar-a-Lago case, which is, I think we would all agree, maybe the most contentious legal matter since the last time the Department of Justice pursued Donald Trump. Okay. It was especially clear when Cannon revealed some of the items that the FBI took from Mar-a-Lago. Now, as an aside here, the Justice Department, what's called the Privilege Review Team, was required to give the judge a report on what had been taken from Mar-a-Lago under the search warrant. Now, the contents of the report have not been made public, but the judge gave us a preview. In her order, she gave us a preview writing, according to the Privilege Review Team's report, the seized materials include medical documents, correspondence related to taxes, and accounting information. The government, this is still Judge Cannon writing, the government also has acknowledged that it seized more, that it seized some personal effects without evidentiary value, and, again, this is all Judge Cannon, and by its own estimate, upwards of 500 pages of material potentially subject to attorney-client privilege. Okay. Now, at issue among these documents are not only documents that could be subject to attorney-client privilege that she just mentioned, but also possibly executive privilege. Now, that's a kind of a murky area that people have gotten very agitated about. Trump has not asserted executive privilege over these documents. The Justice Department argues that executive privilege simply does not apply to an ex-president. He's not the president. He doesn't have executive privilege. And that Trump would never be able to legitimately assert the privilege in this case. The Justice Department asked the judge to just ignore any question about executive privilege, but the judge argued that the issue is not quite that clear-cut. I mean, she didn't argue in favor of it, but she argued that it was not totally clear-cut. And while she did not suggest that Trump would succeed with a claim of executive privilege, she didn't get anywhere close to that. She nonetheless said it would be reasonable to have a special master look into what materials might be involved with such a claim of executive privilege. Now, this was interesting. You may not have heard this in some of the discussion of this. Cannon pointed out that special masters are not at all rare in legal proceedings. You've heard that said probably a bunch of times. It's not at all unusual. Quote, the appointment of a special master is not uncommon in the context of attorney-client privilege. Okay. But then she wrote, nor is the appointment of a special master unheard of in the context of potentially executive privileged material. In fact, this is Judge Cannon writing, in fact, the government itself recently contemplated and requested the appointment of a special master to review for both attorney-client and executive privilege. Now, again, this is not arguing that executive privilege covers these documents or that Trump has a winning claim here. She's just saying this is not absolutely black and white. And indeed, when she mentioned, she said the government recently contemplated and requested the appointment of a special master to review for both attorney-client privilege and executive privilege. Now, it's interesting. She wrote, let's see, I got to find this. I've got to look up this. She cited a case about a search warrant that was executed. It was a search warrant of Rudy Giuliani's apartment on April 28th, 2021. The FBI searched Giuliani's apartment, took a number of devices, electronic devices, phones, iPads, etc., which could contain, you know, potentially millions of documents, lots and lots of documents, on a single phone, iPad, or laptop. Now, Giuliani's lawyers, after this FBI search of his house with a search warrant, his lawyers argued that the materials taken involved attorney-client privilege, which seems kind of reasonable because Giuliani is an attorney. And they also argued that it involved executive privilege since he was President Trump's attorney. And what Cannon was noting here was that the government agreed to the appointment of a special master to look over the materials and resolve any conflicts. The judge in the case, who is like canon, a U.S. district judge, in this case, Paul Otkin in New York, ordered that a master be appointed. How about that? So Cannon was pointing out that this is not absolutely unheard of, even in the context of executive privilege. So she ordered that a special master be appointed in the Mar-a-Lago documents case, as I said before, one that is acceptable to both the Justice Department and the Trump defense. So the biggest objection to this, this set off this enormous controversy. A lot of legal world, especially liberal legal world, certainly resistance legal world, just went nuts about it. And we're going to discuss exactly what their objections were next.
Hey guys, we know it's hard to keep up with all the news these days, but don't worry because we're here to talk and laugh about it all. Woke culture is being pushed onto our kids in schools. Midterm elections are quickly approaching, but the red wave is not guaranteed. And our meet and greet in Tampa is just 2 weeks away. Hey, it's the Chicks from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture, nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm back. Said I was going to discuss liberal legal world's objections to Judge Cannon's order. First, I did want to say, if you've been listening to the podcast, enjoying the podcast, hopefully, maybe even learning from the podcast, it would be great if you could subscribe to the podcast. Very easy to do. You can do it iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. Do it. You'll like it. You'll like it, and I would greatly appreciate it. So, anyway, Judge Cannon orders a special master for the Mar-a-Lago documents. She told the Justice Department that it could not use the seized materials for investigative purposes while the special master is working. She issued an injunction against them using the material for investigative purposes. Now, this does not mean that the Justice Department has to shut down the Trump investigation. It can continue conducting interviews or doing other investigative work. Also, you've probably heard Democrats in Congress ask for this. The Director of National Intelligence is conducting a separate, entirely separate review of the documents to determine if Trump's holding them at Mar-a-Lago did any damage to national security. What, if any, damage it did to national security? Judge Cannon specifically said that she will allow that review to continue. What she talked about a special master does not apply to the Director of National Intelligence review. Now, the critics' biggest objection here is that it will delay the Justice Department. So that Judge Cannon's ruling, the appoint, they got to find a special master who has the appropriate security clearances and the expertise and the time and the availability and is suitable or acceptable to both sides. I mean, it's not, they're not just walking around everywhere. So they have to find a special master. And then the special master has to do this work. So the critics' biggest objection is that it could take weeks or months. Imagine that. It will delay the Justice Department's pursuit of this case. And with it, possibly, the indictment of former President Trump. Now, cases are delayed all the time for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes more often than not, they are delayed. Would a delay for a special master to do his or her work do some sort of grave damage to the prosecution? Well, Cannon said that it wouldn't. The court, quote, finds that these unprecedented circumstances call for a brief pause to allow for neutral third-party review to ensure a just process with adequate safeguards. Okay, so that's what the judge said. Yeah, there's going to be a delay. It's not going to be anything that's going to damage the case. Just the special master will do the work, and if everything's fine, you'll just move ahead. If there's some things you can't use, you won't use them, and then you move on. Now, maybe it won't get done by the midterms. It wasn't going to get done by the midterms anyway. Maybe it won't get done by some other time that the Justice Department had in mind. But that's what the judge said. So in the end, maybe you think the judge did the right thing, the reasonable thing, or maybe you think she did the wrong thing, the unreasonable thing. But would anyone think this is a Dred Scott level or a Korematsu level case in which the judge has made an error so far-reaching, so outrageous, and so serious that it deserves to be in the hall of judicial infamy? Would anybody think that? Or perhaps would a fair observer think that the judge has made a reasonable attempt to resolve the question? And it is the flipped out, freaked out, over the top critics who have abandoned reason in this case. Well, I think you can figure out my answer there. Glad you could join us. Always glad when you can listen in. Really, really appreciate it. Hope you can subscribe and give us some feedback. That would be absolutely terrific. So thanks for joining us. Always appreciate it. Hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.